Genesis chapter 4, we'll be looking at verses 1 through 8. It says, "Now the man had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. And she said, 'I have gotten a man-child with the help of the Lord.' Again, she gave birth to his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of flocks, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the first fruit of the ground. Abel, on his part, also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering, but for Cain and for his offering, he had no regard." Let's pray. Father God, I ask as we compare Cain and Abel, what was going on in their hearts, what they gave to the Lord, I ask that you would challenge our hearts about the condition of our heart and about what we give to God, how we give to God, and I pray that you would help us to bring our hearts and our lives and our giving into conformity to your will and your ways. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, I just think it's kind of funny. She had a man-child. Any of you ladies ever have a man-child? When I saw that that wording, I see that picture, you know, a little baby coming out, and it's like a full-grown man. I wonder why that wording comes out that way. When you are, before we get into that, have you ever been in a place where you're worried about something waiting around the corner? What kind of place are you thinking of?
Old age.
What? What's that?
It's
old age. What's waiting for me around the corner there? Yeah, that's funny. I'm only 52 and I can already tell stories.
A jungle trail.
Wow. Interesting coming from a Vietnam vet.
Financial insecurity.
What's creeping around the corner? That's kind of a situational thing there. You know, what's waiting for you? But I'd like you to think about what Don said and his perspective. Somebody, a soldier, creeping through the jungle trails of Vietnam, and you know, is there something crouching at that, you know, around the bend or hiding behind a tree? Or in this passage, it talks about something is like crouching at the door. Okay? And its desire is for you.
Call the boogeyman.
Well, it's not called the boogeyman in this text. So Adam and Eve, we saw what happened last week. Miserable fall of mankind. And it's good for us to remember, we're all children of Adam and Eve. We all came from the same two people. We're all related, whether we like it or not. And they have children, of course. And what is utterly, I mean, sin is bad, right? But how quickly sin infected the human race is, and to the degree that we see in the story, is just It's jaw-dropping. And we need to realize that. And keep in mind, what was the first sin? Don't eat from that tree. Taking a piece of fruit against the will of God. What's the big deal? It was a bold-faced rebellion against the clearly spoken word of God. Clear commandment from the Lord. Don't eat from this one tree. Fell there, and now we've got this going on. Okay, so we got two brothers, and let's look at what. One was a tiller of the ground, right? And the other is a keeper of sheep, a shepherd. So we got a crop farmer and a sheep farmer. Okay, two brothers. Kind of makes sense, right? I mean, where do you start when you got Adam and Eve? What they got put out of the garden because of the sin, and now they have to begin. So, makes sense. Crop farmer and a shepherd, you know, to begin this whole human race ordeal. And it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. I don't know about you. Isn't this fascinating? Where did they learn that they needed to bring something to God? Where did that come from? Moses hasn't written the Ten Commandments yet, or anything about tithing, or nothing like that. Adam and Eve sin, get thrown out of the garden, and their sons immediately begin to bring things to God. It's kind of cool, isn't it? You kind of wonder, you know, how did it, you know, why do people give things to God? Well, they've done it from the beginning. Okay? In the course of time, Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Okay? And then it says that Abel, on his part, also brought of the firstlings. Okay? The firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. So what's the difference between those two gifts? I mean, it's kind of obvious. I did a Bible chart, and I have, you know, I drew a bunch of sheaves, you know, like you see the farmers used to bundle up the sheaves of wheat and they bring in the sheaves. Picture in your head from years and years ago. So Cain brought an offering of the sheaves of his wheat, the fruit of his ground. Abel brings the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. What's the difference between those two gifts? What's that?
Meat and potatoes.
Meat versus potatoes.
Some versus the best.
Yeah. So notice some, and I think it's interesting, you know, you read 12 different commentators, you know, you buy your commentaries, Matthew Henry and MacArthur commentary and the, you know, this and that, you can buy a dozen different commentaries, and you might find that many different answers on some passages, but there's two general ones here. Some believe that Abel was bringing a blood sacrifice of an animal, and that's what made his gift acceptable, and Cain did not bring an animal sacrifice. But my observation in light of that is later on when God did give specific instructions to Moses about giving offerings to the Lord, he told the people of Israel to bring the fruit of the ground. He told them to bring. So at this point in Cain's life, he could have traded some of his wheat or his potatoes for a sheep from his brother and offered the sheep up to the Lord so that it would be a blood sacrifice. But I don't think that's the point here. I think the thing to point out here is that, find that button, Cain brought an offering. It's like, oh, let's just take some of this stuff here and give it to God. And Abel brought the firstlings of his flock. Circle that in your Bible, highlight it, put stars around it. He gave, and later on in the scriptures it talks about bringing the first fruits of what you give. When the Bible does introduce the concept of a tithe, it says we need to bring, you know, the first 10%, the best of what we have needs to be given to God. Not the, oh, and when we did bring an animal sacrifice to God, the Lord made it really clear, we're not to bring the lame and the sick sheep. The ones that, you know, he said to bring the best of your flock, the best of your crops. But Cain apparently just brings an offering, and Abel brings the firstling. So, that, I believe that that's part of the reason why we see this. Let's look at this comparison. The Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering. Remember, he brought the firstlings, the first fruits of his cattle. And for Cain, and for his offering, he had no regard. And I think what we need to do at this point in the story is, I don't know about you, but this sort of, you bring something, you give something to God, and he either smiles and says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," or he has no regard for the gift. And I don't know about you, but when you bring a gift, when you buy a gift for your kids at Christmas time, how do you want them to respond? Yeah, you want to see them jumping up and down and, you know, just so excited about, look what mom and dad or grandma and grandpa or uncle or Bob would, you know, look what I got for Christmas. You know, you want to see them excited. That's the way I want the Lord to be delighted in my gift. And this reminds us that we can give in such a way that God's not happy with the giving. That's kind of sad, isn't it? And yet, it's just something we need to deal with. How do I give? You know, am I just giving a little bit of what's left over, or am I giving God the first fruits of, you know, what I have coming in? Okay? So, Cain became very angry. What in the world is going on here? Cain became very angry and his countenance fell. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door and its desire is for you. But you must master it." Wow. So let's break that down one by one. There, Cain became very angry and his countenance fell. What's this thing about the countenance there? All you need to do is picture somebody like, you know, you can picture Christmas morning, kids are happy, they're excited, or somebody gets, you know, we kind of joke about it, and we talk about putting a lump of coal in their stocking because they didn't, you know, they didn't measure up this year, so all you get is a lump of coal. The one kid's, you know, all excited, and the other one is not too happy. Okay? Maybe not the best illustration. Better illustration is you go to work one day and you work hard and your boss is, you know, for whatever reason, he's like, thank you for your work today. And, you know, he's happy about the way you've done your work. But on another day, your boss is like, What happened to him? He's all uptight, he's angry, you can't do anything to please him. And sometimes people's countenance, and I want us to remember this verse. The Lord told the Jewish priests to speak this blessing over the children of Israel. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his countenance to shine on you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and, you know, and give you peace. So that, at least, and in the context here, do we want God to for his countenance to shine on us, and for him to be, you know, positively, you know, looking down on us, or do we want him to be looking, you know, we don't. And so, now, our countenance, we're talking about not the countenance of God, but the countenance of Cain. His countenance fell because the Lord, you know, had regard for his brother's offering. God was happy with Abel's gift to him, but God did not have regard for Cain's gift. And all of us probably can remember a time when we're the one who hasn't done what is right and we're in trouble. We have this attitude about the one who has a good relationship with the teacher, or the good relationship with the parents, or the good relationship with whoever is in charge. Why is it that the human race, when we have done something wrong, when our heart is all messed up, why do we get all uptight with the person who is in good fellowship with God? Why is that? There is certainly the reality that sin is trying to, I guess I'm thinking about what is the specific sin? What's going on in the heart of man that...
Jealousy.
Pride. What was that?
Jealousy.
Jealousy and pride are... I think you could say two sides of the same coin in this regard. It is because of this deep-seated pride that we can't stand somebody is, you know, God is happy with this person, but they're not happy with me. Okay? Cain became very angry and his countenance fell. And this is why I believe we see later on here in these verses why it is the Lord did not have regard for Cain's offering. I don't believe it was because he brought some of his wheat or his potatoes or his tomatoes or whatever crop from the ground that he was growing. He brought it to the Lord. And we see that there is something going on in this man's heart that is deep and dark and so evil. And this is why I want you to grab a hold of the reality that the sin of their mother taking of the listening to the devil, eating the fruit, handing it to Adam, and him eating the fruit, that they pass something on to their children that is this deadly. It is this dark. And that is why pride and jealousy enters in to the picture. Okay? So the Lord says to Cain, why are you angry? Did the Lord ask that because he didn't know the answer? Okay. Maybe the Lord is asking one of us today, why are you angry? Why are you so upset because of the situation that you're in? I know that over and over again in my Christian life, I have experienced, Lord, why in the world are you letting this happen to me? Why is this happening? What is going on here? Why do I get angry about things that don't go well in life? Because things don't go the way I think they should. And when I get right down to it, I realize, wait a minute here, if I got what I deserved, that's a horrible thought right there. Just to finish that thought, if I got what I deserved, I'd be burning in hell. So what I am experiencing is so much better than that. God has given me so much. I have so much to be thankful for. Why am I angry? Why am I getting all uptight about this? Stuff that really doesn't matter. Okay? Why are you angry? Why has your countenance fallen? The Lord isn't asking these questions because he doesn't know the answer. He's asking these questions so that we'll examine ourselves to see why in the world am I responding this way to life circumstances? The Lord, I love these are like life proverbs, you might say, from the Lord. In this case, if you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? If you do well, now, here, I think the Lord is just admonishing Cain to, you know, don't worry about what's going on with your brother. You need to focus on your relationship with the Lord. And if the Lord is rebuking you for something in your heart and some inappropriate, you know, whatever, then you need to deal. Why are you getting angry with your brother? Okay? And notice, so many times in churches and in ministries and it's so sad that missionaries coming back off the field because they couldn't get along with the other missionaries. You know how often that's happened? If you could see the statistics, you'd probably be shocked. And the enemy knows how to, you know, use pride and jealousy, and God's doing something different in this guy over here. Why would that make me get all uptight? You know? So if you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? The Lord asks. And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and it's desirous for you. You must master it. When the soldiers and the Marines were working there, and the Navy SEALs and those other special operators and all that are going through the jungles of Vietnam back during the Vietnam conflict, the level of vigilance. This had to be constant. They never knew when there was going to be an ambush or when there was going to be, you know, the enemy was lurking out there. And we need to get it through our gourds that the enemy is always waiting. Just like back when we were doing the they are putting on the armor of God, because the sin is crouching at the door. Okay, now notice he's detailing who is crouching at the door, or what is crouching at the door. Sin is crouching at the door. It does not say Satan is crouching at the door. It doesn't say a demon is crouching at the door. Sin is crouching at the door. And I think it's important to realize that so many human beings are sinning and sinning and sinning, and the devil is just sitting back saying, I don't even have to mess with this guy. He's already destroying his life. We give the devil way too much credit. He's powerful. He's a deceiver. He did convince Eve, but there's no mention of, this is Cain and his evil, the sin in his heart. And he has a problem that he needs to deal with, and not just say the devil made me do it or this or that, but this is sin crouching at the door. Okay? And the Lord says, its desire is for you, but you must master it. That gives us hope. That gives us encouragement. If the Lord says, you must master it, that means there is a way that he has ordained, and he has empowered you to do that. Particularly, and I think today we can say, through the blood of Christ, through the salvation that came in Christ. Before Jesus came, it was in the promise. Remember in Genesis chapter 3, the Lord looked at the devil and said, the seed of the woman is going to crush your head. I'm paraphrasing a bit. But he promised, speaking to the evil one, but guess what? It got written down for us to read it and take it to heart, that the seed of the woman, who was, we learned later on in the epistles, that it was speaking specifically about Jesus Christ, who would come as a descendant of Eve and Adam, and he would deal with the sin problem of humanity. Okay? So, God has created a way for us to master sin. Not that we'll ever be, we can never stop being concerned that it's waiting there to attack. But he's given us a way of having victory. So Cain told Abel his brother, and it came about when they were in the field. Cain told his brother, period. Why in the world didn't I see that earlier? Cain told his brother what? Why does that happen? I should see that stuff when I'm studying it earlier in the week. Cain told his brother. And it came about when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. We know this story. Maybe we've heard it ever since we were a little, you know, they kind of move through it in Sunday school and you hear it, but we got to let that sink in. Why in the world would a brother, I just think of my brothers. I mean, they're weird, but I like them. I can't imagine killing one of them. How bad must something be in my life for me to kill one of my own brothers? We come from the same mama. This ought to mess us up for a couple of hours trying to ponder how in the world does a brother do this? Because God had regard for his gift, and God doesn't have regard for my gift, so, you know, killed him. And this, I always stop here, and I just try to, whenever, whether I'm teaching little kids or youth or young adults or, you know, chronologically challenged people, whatever, that this is how bad sin is. Sin starts with somebody eating a piece of fruit. And one generation later, you got a brother murdering his brother. That's how bad sin is. That's why we need to be vigilant. Not just against, we need to remember that the devil is on the prowl, seeking whom he may devour. But there's another enemy in us. And in a sense, I can say, it's us. Because sin is part of our nature, because this is what has been passed on. Adam and Eve gave this to Cain and Abel, and Cain killed Abel. Because sin is that, we need to hate it. We need to have an attitude about this. We gotta crucify this mess so that Jesus can rise victorious out of the mess of my life.
That's right.
That's what he wants to do. And he's the one who said, you must master it. And then he sent Jesus into the world to make that doable. Today, I can have victory over the sin in my life because of what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross.
Amen.
Cain rose up and killed his brother. I'm going to finish up here. Then the Lord said to Cain, where's Abel, your brother? He said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? That's the part that everybody seems to remember. You always hear people, am I my brother's keeper? And I think it's an important lesson. People extract that kind of out of the story, and we talk about how, oh, I'm responsible for Lee. He's my brother. So I have a responsibility to, you know, hold him accountable. He has responsibility to hold me accountable. And I am my brother's keeper. If my brother's in trouble, I'm supposed to help him. And sister, and cousins, whatever. We are here for each other. And so it's important to learn that lesson. This reveals another level of Cain's ridiculous mindset. You know? He's all uptight because God's happy. He should be, oh boy, God's happy with him. Why don't I just go over and talk to my brother and find out, why did God accept your gift and he didn't accept mine? Can you help me? What's wrong with my heart? That would have been the right question to ask. And then go to God, and all he had to do was ask for forgiveness. And God will change that anger into teachableness. And like, yeah, I messed up, but next time when I bring my gift to the Lord, I can have the right heart because God will forgive me and God will work. God's working on this piece of meat. Where is Abel, your brother? He said, I don't know. I'm my brother's keeper. And he said, what have you done? Again, what's God fishing for here? What does God want? What was that? I think I heard it.
Honesty.
Honesty?
Repentance.
Repentance.
Yep.
This is just, I wonder, what would have happened in chapter 3 if when the Lord said to Eve, what have you done? What did she respond? Oh, no. I'm sorry. God didn't start with Eve. God first spoke to Adam. He is the representative head of the human race and the leader of his wife. He's the one in charge. God said to Adam, what have you done? Well, that woman you gave me, she gave me the food and I ate. And she said, well, the devil, blah, 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 blah. And what would have happened? How would things be different today if they had just repented and asked God for forgiveness? I wonder if the thing couldn't have just been washed away. We can ask God that when we get there. What have you done? The Lord, all Cain had to do was say, Lord, I have sinned. I have done wrong. The voice of your, and listen to what God says, the voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. What does God hear because of the death of millions of babies that are killed, you know, through abortion, and the millions of people that die because, you know, human beings are just... Because sin has so infected the human race that life is just not precious. Just no big deal. Just another human being. Why not? We just all evolved from monkeys and, you know, from the primordial ooze, from some hole in the ground, mud, whatever. You know, we're nothing. So just, what's the big deal if this guy's annoying me and I kill him? That's how perverted and disgusting our world has become. And, oh, our senior citizens, boy, they're taking up too much of our resources. You know how much it costs to keep these people alive? Let's just pull the plug on them. And it'll be better for the human race. It's coming. If you haven't heard that yet, it's already being done in different places around the world. Oh, if somebody's in pain and they want to commit suicide, let's help them out. California, they're making it legal. Right now, if it isn't done already, I heard just recently about it, legalizing, you can help your family member commit suicide now. And, you know, it's the compassionate thing to do. It's really sad. I hope everybody's understanding that I'm being kind of facetious about it. But it's really not a joking matter. But when people die at the hands of other human beings, their blood, in some sense, God hears the cry of their blood from the ground. That ought to impact us. Now, you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you cultivate the ground, it will no longer yield its strength to you. You will be a vagrant and a wanderer on the earth. We'll just finish this up here, reading this out. Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is too great to bear. Behold, you have driven me this day from the face of the ground. Notice, Cain became a tiller of the ground. And just as many of you know, farmers, it's like, this is what I do. It's like they know they were born to work the ground. And to have them to tell them, the ground's no longer going to put out for you because of your filthy, dirty, murderous heart. It's not going to produce for you anymore. Cain said, my punishment is too great to bear. Behold, you have driven me this day from the face of the ground, and from your face I will be hidden. And I will be a vagrant and a wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. So the Lord said to him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance will be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord appointed a sign for Cain so that no one finding him would slay him. I wonder what that was. Something God put, I don't know, God made him stand out somewhere, I don't know, put something on his forehead or whatever. So he was forced to He couldn't do what he was created to do. And some would say, that's why so many people commit suicide, take their lives, or whatever, you know. But the Lord says, no, you're gonna have to suffer through this. All he had to do was repent. All he had to do was say, Father, forgive me. So, God asked Adam and Eve, where are you? God asked Cain, what have you done? Why are you angry? Why is your countenance fallen? Those are questions that we all seem to hear God speaking those questions to us. And then, remember, Christ came to as the solution to all of this. But we don't have to run around suffering because of what, like Cain did. It's a tragic. When we get to heaven, we'll kind of hear the rest of the story. And but let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would help us to go running to you, Lord, when we stumble and fall in whatever way. God, it's so amazing how you go into these prisons where these people have committed murder and these terrible atrocities, and they hear the gospel and they're converted. They believe in the Lord. And they're forgiven for all the sins that they have committed. And Lord, I thank you that you have sent Jesus, that God, the Father, so loved the world. The Father so loved each one of us that he sent his Son into the world to die on the cross, to take the punishment for our sins, so that we can be reconciled to God and live a reconciled life with God, in God, in Christ. Lord, I pray that you'll help these kind of sad stories to have a joyous and delight-filled response on our part, Lord. When we run to you and we get forgiveness, your countenance shines on us. And you lift up our countenance so that we can be a blessing to other people. Even though we've sinned against you, God, it's so awesome that you love us that much. And I thank you that we can receive this love today. We can, in spite of the fact that we've been angry, and if our countenance has fallen, thank you that we can receive Christ and trust in him afresh and anew today, be restored to you, and that our countenance can be lifted up to heaven. We can praise you and worship you, and our countenance can shine on our fellow man, and we can help them who are struggling to come into a relationship with you. So I pray that you'll help us with this, Lord. Help us to respond the way you want us to. It's in Jesus' name I pray, for his glory and honor, always. Amen.